May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 264. Far from my thoughts, vain world begone, let my religious hours alone. Fain would my eyes my Saviour see, I wait a visit, Lord, from thee. Hymn 264. Thank you.
Let us read together from the Holy Word of God, from the second epistle to Timothy, chapter 2. The second epistle to Timothy, chapter 2. To Timothy, chapter 2, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboureth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honour and some to dishonour. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. Almighty, most holy, eternal Lord God, thou who art also merciful, gracious, good, kind, faithful, unchangeable. Oh, Lord, permit us now to draw nigh, even at the throne of thy grace, where sinners are welcome, where sinners may come, where sinners may venture, or where sinners may seek to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thankful to find there yet is room before the throne of grace. Thankful we have one to whom we may go in every time of need, every time of trouble, every time of distress. Oh, to take it to the Lord in prayer, to seek that grace, to cast all our care upon him. And oh, to so sweetly prove, again and again, for he careth for you. Oh, to be under thy tender care, as a shepherd cares for his flock, as a father cares for his children. Oh, Lord, look upon us, we pray, and be very merciful and very gracious. For Lord, we believe that if we know anything of our own hearts by nature, the plague of our hearts, the heart deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, the old man of sin, Lord, we're brought to see that we deserve nothing, that we are not worthy even of the very least of thy mercies. Oh Lord, that really we're hell-deserving sinners, for we have sinned against thee, and oh, our sins are innumerable, sins of word, of thought, of deed, sins of commission, sins of omission, that we're repetitive sinners, that we cannot cease from sin. Oh, that we sin against light and knowledge. Daily I'd repent of sin, daily wash in Jesus' blood, Daily feel thy peace within. Daily I'd commune with God. O Lord, lead us out of self and unto Christ, who came to seek and to save that which was lost, to save his people from their sins. Or that fountain opened for sin and uncleanness which ever floweth. Oh, there to resort, there to shelter, there to be cleansed, there to be purged. Oh, to be brought to Calvary, and there to lose our burden. Oh, there to find peace with God, that peace in believing, that I may know him, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him, a real Christian, born of God, taught of God, led of God, to find grace in thy sight, or to know that peace in believing, or to be found sheltering under the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. But oh, for that sweet sense of blood-bought pardon, to know our sins forgiven, our iniquities pardoned, our transgressions covered over. Oh, to be saved by free and sovereign grace. And oh, to be made sure, to make our calling and our election sure. Lord, save us from unbelief on one hand and presumption on the other. Grant to us a gift of the Holy Ghost, and may thy Spirit bear witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Oh, to be enabled to say, Abba, Father. Oh, to be enabled to say, my Lord and my God. Oh, to be enabled to say, my Jesus, my Saviour, my Redeemer, the chiefest among 10,000. The altogether lovely, my all in all. O Lord Jesus, do come. Come and reveal thyself amidst 10,000 anxious cares, the world and Satan's deep-laid snares. This my incessant cry shall be, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. And Lord, as we gather here tonight in these thine earthly courts, O do come, come into our midst, come into our hearts, and do drive out all the buyers and the sellers. Oh, drive out, Lord, all that is earthly, all that is fleshly, all that is carnal, all that is worldly. Oh, Lord, keep us from wandering minds, distracting thoughts. Grant us that faith to look up, to see no man save Jesus only. O Lord, do come. Blessed Spirit, do come. Take of the things of Jesus apply them upon our hearts. Oh, blow that gale of grace. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon this garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden, and take of his pleasant fruits. May thy spirit be at work here this night. Oh, may there be hearts touched, souls refreshed, revived, strengthened. O Lord, prosper thy word, to be found a good ground hearer. O Lord, remember us, we pray, for thou alone knowest how we have come. For man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God, omniscient God, looketh upon the heart. And Lord, as we gather this night, for many, the end of another working week, and there may be that natural weariness and tiredness, the end of another busy day. But, O Lord, do come and do grant that special help, that special strength. And, oh Lord, do come and bless souls, those who have prayed their way here, those blessed with that spiritual hunger and thirst, that spiritual appetite after the things of God, whose souls need to be fed. Lord, who long for a word in due season, and handful of purpose, food convenient, who greatly fear lest they should be left out, they should be denied, they should be passed by. Be not silent unto me, O Lord, lest if thou be silent unto me, I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Speak the word only, and thy servant shall be made whole. Lord, remember those in spiritual need. Remember those in providential need. Attend to each case. Supply every need, but glorify thy name. And Lord, if there be any found here indifferent, careless, unconcerned, oh, we do beg that thy spirit may yet be at work with that arrow of conviction. Oh, might this be that appointed hour, not to propose, but call by grace. Oh, Lord, that souls might be quickened here, born again, taught to pray. So, Lord, remember each and every one, from the youngest to the eldest. And, O Lord, remember those who would be here if they could, those of the care of little ones, those caught up in employments, any away at this time, and any who may be laid aside in affliction or sickness. Lord, thou knowest how we meet here this night. Thy dear aged servant who had engaged originally to be here, now following his great afflictions, leaving him in much weakness and infirmity, now not able to come. Lord, remember him in his time of old age. Be with him still. Bless him abundantly. Go before him yet. And Lord, as we understand, he is unable to perhaps venture at home. Lord, still help him. And may he yet see those signs following, and souls unto his hire. Oh, how oft we feel it, there is a lad here. Oh, Lord, but the same God, the same gospel, the same precious truths. Oh, may we prove the same help, this same Jesus, and the same Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we understand, a collection shall be taken for the Trinitarian Bible Society, we would seek to remember them in what they seek to do, primarily in the circulation and distribution of thy holy word throughout all nations. O Lord, who prosper thy word, we pray. And remember this society, grant much wisdom and grace to those of the management. O Lord, and faithfulness in those who seek to translate it into foreign tongues. Oh, may they be given that single eye, like William Tyndale of old, to thy honour and to thy glory. Oh Lord, we live in a solemn day, a most dark and evil day. How we need to be kept. And only thy power can keep us. O Lord, have mercy upon our guilty land and nation, that for the most part has cast aside and trodden underfoot thy holy word. The great cry being, we will not have this man to reign over us. Lord, overrule our rulers. Open the eyes of our Queen. Oh, have mercy upon our leaders. Raise up those who truly love and fear thy name. Lord, stem the great tide of sin. Overturn, overturn, overturn the wicked desires of evil men. And do yet bring all their planning, scheming and plotting to naught. Bring it all to confusion. Lord, our eyes are upon thee. Oh, hear the cries of the little remnant. Those who tremble for the ark of God. Those who long for thy appearing. For thy intervention. Lord, have mercy. O Lord, hear our poor prayer. We have much to be thankful for. Thy many mercies, thy favours, thy goodness, we would be thankful. Lord, hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive. And send help now, both in pulpit and in pew. We ask all for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 43. Precious Bible, what a treasure does the Word of God afford. All I want for life or pleasure, food and medicine, shield and sword, is revealed in Jehovah's sacred word. Hymn 43.
Thank you.
the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help. I would direct your prayerful attention to the second epistle of Timothy, chapter 2, reading the last clause in verse 9. But the word of God is not bound. The second epistle to Timothy, chapter 2, from verse 9, this last clause, but the word of God is not bound. The word of God. As you have just been singing, what a vast subject we have set before us here. The word of Almighty, Omniscient God, our Maker and our Creator, the Word of God, thus saith the Lord. He commanded, and it stood fast. Oh, the Word of God, from whom nothing can overthrow, nothing can destroy. The word of God. As we have in the following chapter concerning the word of God, the sacred scriptures, able to make thee wise unto salvation. The word of God, able to make thee wise unto salvation. What greater wisdom can there be than to be made wise unto salvation? It came to me, thinking upon this, how not far from here there is that professor who, such an atheist in his denial of God, and how poor men look upon him as so wise, so learned, so able in his field of study. And yet should he continue and die in his denial of God? Oh, what an absolute fool. What utter folly. I forget which Puritan it was now, but one of them said, a man may be an atheist in his life, but he won't be on the day of his death. Oh, what a most solemn realization to see that there is a God, an almighty God. But the Lord, through his precious word, oh, speaks unto his people, causes them to hear his voice. His people who fall under him. The Lord Jesus, who again is the word of God. The Lord Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. What heart-searching this word should bring to us. Have we heard the word of God? Have we heard the voice of Jesus? Are we found true disciples following him? Do we have that desire to hear the voice of Jesus? Do we have that desire to know him, to follow him? Dear friend, let me ask you, have you come to chapel tonight not to hear my poor voice, but to hear the Lord's voice. Not to receive it in your head, but to receive it by faith in your heart. Have you been blessed with that spiritual appetite, that hunger, that thirst, that longing, that panting, as a hart panteth after the water brook, so thirsteth my soul after thee, O God? Dear friend, have you come seeking for a word in due season, that the Lord in his rich mercy, loving kindness, might be pleased to speak to you? Oh, perhaps it is concerning your desire to know your sins forgiven. We read this morning in our reading concerning that woman who in the house of a Pharisee where the Lord Jesus was found with her tears washing the feet of the Lord Jesus and wiping them with the hairs of her head in all humility. And how the Lord Jesus spoke to her, thy sins be forgiven thee. And how it impressed me this morning, what a wonderful word. Oh, to receive that word with power. Again, in the heart, not in the head. To hear the Lord's voice, the Holy Spirit, the divine comforter, taking of the things of Jesus and applying them upon a heart. You see, there must be the application. I fear that we live in such a day, I suppose it always has been. There are many, and many would call themselves evangelists in evangelical churches who believe in duty faith, who say you have the word of God before you, it's your duty to exercise faith and to take that word unto yourself. The living child of God dare not be so presumptuous, dare not. But no, he longs to hear his shepherd's voice, the voice of love and mercy. He doesn't seek to receive that word into his head, a mere head knowledge of the word of God. He wants that heart knowledge. He wants the application of the word. Oh, he wants to know Christ formed in his heart, the hope of glory. He wants Christ to be revealed to him by the eye of faith, and yes, by the ear of faith, to hear his voice. There is that word in the Song of Solomon. O thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken unto thy voice. Cause me to hear it. I remember many years ago now, really that was my prayer. And perhaps in the house of God we saw those who had been enabled to make an open profession of their faith, and we felt they had heard the voice of their beloved, the Lord Jesus. They had been comforted, they had been favoured, they had been blessed, they could rejoice. But it's that personal application. Cause me to hear it. Lord, in mercy, speak to me. Again, like the dear psalmist, is this your prayer? Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Oh, you long to hear the voice of love and mercy. You long for that application of the word of God unto your soul, that by faith you receive it. Now, you're all aware of the parable of the sower. And the thing is, it's the good ground, and only the good ground which brought forth fruit. No other did. And the ground, as we might see it by nature, it needs to be prepared, it needs to be ploughed up, literally overturned, broken down. And so it is in the heart of a child of God. Oh, where the Spirit begins that work of grace, there will be a ploughing up of the hard heart. Oh, the breaker will go forth, and there will be a breaking of that hard heart. Yes, there will be that softening. Oh, the Lord will be at work, overturning all that is of the carnal mind, all that is fleshly, all that is of the world. There will be that overturning, that breaking up, that breaking down. When we see the soil, as it were, finely prepared, and that seed, you see, it enters in. It doesn't lay on top like the wayside hearer. For, naturally speaking, laying on top, then the fowls of heaven come down and devour that seed. No, it needs to go in. The word of God needs to go into the heart, beyond the reach of Satan, beyond the reach of this world. I might add, beyond the reach of the old man of sin, unbelief. Oh, there, entered in, there it germinates. There it comes alive. And we might further add, following the thing of nature, there is that taking root downward. How vital, may I suggest, to every plant, every tree, that there is that taking root downward. If I might so speak, taking that hold. Now, the child of God, by the Spirit's teaching, will take root downward. That is to cleave to Christ. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. All that taking root downward, seeking to find Christ, to lay hold of him. Is there one here tonight with that desire, with that prayer, with that longing, with that burden, with that exercise? To lay hold of Christ. Are you found taking root downward? Oh, you long to know him. Yes, you fear to presume. Perhaps you feel to be full of unbelief. But like Ruth clave to her mother-in-law Naomi, so you seek to cling to Christ. Now, may I suggest this in your exercise, in your desires? You seek to cling to the Word of God. And perhaps there is a specific word or a general word upon which you hope. You see how the Lord Jesus, being so full of compassion, he speaks, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Ah, you would venture, or you would seek to come to the Lord Jesus. You would seek to come humbly, you would seek to come reverently, or you would be found seeking him. Again, how the Lord Jesus spake, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Ah, are ye found asking for mercy? Seeking Christ, knocking upon the door of God's mercy. Oh, longing for that revelation. Again, we mentioned concerning a word. Is it your prayer like the dear psalmist? Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Oh, the Lord drawing you unto himself by his precious word, which is able to make you wise unto salvation. You see, your great burden, it's your never-dying soul. Oh, your desire to be saved, to find grace in God's sight. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Remember me. Visit me. May I suggest that the Lord has taught you to pray? What a wonderful mercy if we have been taught to pray by the Lord. I know often we feel our prayers to be poor prayers. We wonder at times if there has been any real prayer within our prayers. But I believe that soul will be brought to realize that their prayers would be real, as they know they need the Holy Spirit to indite real prayer into their hearts. And I believe in real prayer there is that communion with God. In real prayer, faith climbs that ladder that Jacob saw, and faith enters into heaven. Faith beholds at the right hand of God the Lord Jesus Christ as the great high priest, as the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But by me. And so we plead in our prayers for Jesus' sake. I've often found it very wonderful in all four gospel accounts concerning the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus, that he never turned away any who rightly came to him. Whether they were Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, young or old, near or far. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Very struck recently, I think it's in Matthew 9, I may be wrong, speaking concerning the Lord Jesus, that he was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. And surely, when one poor, needy, trembling sinner comes before him in prayer, or comes in humble confession, comes pleading for mercy, or comes pleading to be saved, to be healed, surely the Lord Jesus, who is full of compassion, who has promised not to turn away any who come unto him, I will in no wise cast out. Surely he will be moved with compassion.
the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, moved with compassion. Compassion upon those whom he is drawing unto himself. Another wonderful truth, that the Lord draws his people unto himself, and often by his word. It was a comfort to Jeremiah. Ah, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And how the Lord Jesus, full of compassion, draws his people unto himself, and he draws them unto the throne of his grace, where they may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let me ask you this. Do you feel yourself being drawn to Christ in your felt need of him? Or do you take up the language of the dear hymn writer? Give me Christ, or else I die. Not just when you come to the house of God, when you come to chapel, but also in your own home. Perhaps while you're about your daily labours, and when you're found in your closet. Perhaps at night time in the night seasons. Oh, being drawn to Christ. I suppose we might say, especially when we come to the house of God, especially when we come under the sound of the gospel ministry. Those souls being drawn to Christ again, we might see it in this way, they're blessed with a spiritual appetite. They don't come longing for the amen, longing to get back home again, but they come feeling poor and needy. They come praying. They come exercised. They come begging the Lord to appear. The Lord to speak. The Lord to comfort. They come praying that there might be something for their soul. That they may not only behold the gospel feast, but to be a partaker. To be fed with that food convenient. To receive Ruth's portion. That handful of purpose. The Word of God. Dear friend, do you desire the Word of God tonight? Or do you desire that portion for your soul? Do you desire that Word in season? The Word of God is not bound. Now the dear Apostle Paul, now coming toward the end of his life, the Lord's prisoner in Rome, he knew what it was literally to be in bonds, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But he knew this, and this was his comfort. But the Word of God is not bound. Now, perhaps there are one or another of you here tonight, and you feel to be in bonds. That Satan has bound you. The world has bound you. That evil heart of unbelief has bound you. Or you feel to be in a prison house and you cannot get yourself free. but you have one desire, and that is to be made free. Oh, you long for deliverance. You long for gospel liberty. Oh, you need the Lord to come. Perhaps in a sense you feel to be, I know this sounds like a contradiction, but I trust you'll understand, you feel to be dead. You feel to be like Lazarus in the tomb. Oh, you feel perhaps there can be no hope for you. And yet hoping against hope that the Lord, full of compassion, would remember you. Now the dear psalmist prayed, bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. You see, that word of the Lord, in due season, applied by the Holy Spirit, sent into the heart, oh, how that will bring your soul out of prison. Oh, how that will be such a comfort, such a blessing. Perhaps at this time you do not feel full of praise. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. You long to be enabled to praise the name of God, the name of the Lord Jesus. But like Jeremiah, I am shut up and cannot come forth. And though you know you cannot go forth, and yet perhaps that God-given faith, you believe the Lord is able to come to you, because the word of God is not bound. Not bound in any way whatsoever. Let us remember that God is sovereign. God is in control. I will work, and who shall let it? For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, and there we see the fruits. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. In a little prophecy of Zephaniah, there are three words concerning Almighty God. He faileth not. Now, I know that we are living in a day of small things. I know that we're living in a very difficult and trying day. Oh, I know many of the Lord's dear people feel to be in captivity, bound up. But the word of God is not bound. Oh, there is that great cry from cause to cause. We need the Lord to appear. We need the Lord to appear. Believing that the Lord will appear. Oh, believing that the word of God is not bound. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. But we long to see those gracious effects. We long to see the word applied. We long to see the word prospered. Oh, we long to see those fruits brought forth in due season. And it's so beautifully set forth by the Lord Jesus, again in a parable of the sowers. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. And what rejoicing there would be for those who grow crops to see the first signs of life. And perhaps this is a comfort. There are those first signs of life, first the blade, or that tiny little shoot showing itself as it presses forth through the earth. And yet already that seed has germinated, it's come to life, there is growth. Although perhaps at present we do not see many blades, it may be the Lord is at work. At present it may be hidden from our eyes, but the Lord is at work. The word of God is not bound. It is not bound. You see how Satan, the enemy of the Lord and the Lord's dear people, would seek to bind the word of God. Yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said. Do you really believe it? How Satan would seek to put questions in our mind concerning the word of God. How Satan would seek to bind the word of God. Again, the apostle knew what it was to be literally in bonds. And in the Old Testament, many of the Lord's servants, the prophets, had to suffer. We think of Jeremiah. We think of others also who were in bonds, who were beaten, who were rejected. But the word of God is not bound. Thinking of Jeremiah, when Baruch took that scroll unto him of the word of God, unto the king, Jehoiakim, who sought to destroy the word of God, as if to say, yea, hath God said? And he took out his knife and cut it up and cast it into the fire. But the word of God is not bound. No, that which was written, and it was written again as a testimony, that was fulfilled. Oh, you see, the word of God is not bound. I think we mentioned Tyndale in prayer. And there was that time when the precious Bible was being sent into our own shores, and the enemies of the truth sought to destroy it. There were those dreadful bonfires of the word of God. Oh, they wanted to destroy the word of God. But the word of God is not bound. Oh, at times it seems the harder the enemy works and opposes and attacks, the more the Lord blesses and prospers his word. It's often been throughout the histories in times of our persecution that the church of God has grown. But the word of God is not bound. Oh, how our poor, unbelieving hearts at times would bind the word of God. There were those two blind men who came to the Lord Jesus, who followed him into the house, not Bartimaeus, but two other, who came begging for mercy, and that their sight might be given them. And the Lord Jesus turned to them and said, believe ye that I am able to do this? We think of those precious promises of God, which are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And you think of that word, believe ye that I am able to do this. Lord, increase our faith. They were enabled to reply, yea, Lord, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. Believe ye that I am able to do this. Now, I don't know, that may be a word in season to one here tonight in an exercise you have, in a matter that you have with the Lord. Believe ye that I am able to do this. Or it may appear as a great mountain. It may appear as an impossibility. Oh, it may be too hard, too difficult. Believe ye that I am able to do this? Let me draw a bow to venture. And we consider the parable of the prodigal son. That son who left his father and went off into a far off country. Now we believe that the father had that humble hope that his son would return. And it would appear that each and every day he was on the outlook for his returning son. Now, maybe you have a prodigal, one who has gone off into the world, and it seems impossible that they can be brought back. Believe ye that I am able to do this. But the word of God is not bound. The appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but call by grace to change your heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. I think one encouragement concerning the father of a prodigal son, each and every day he was on the outlook. You might see that as the father at the throne of grace, knowing it was beyond him. And you do not read of the father running after the lad or seeking to find out where he was that he might bring him back. No. You might say in that sense he left it all with the Lord. For the word of God is not bound. We're not told how far off that son went, nor how long he was away. So in that sense, it didn't matter how far he went, how long he was away. But the thing is, he returned. And the father was praying for his return. Oh, dear friend, continue in prayer. I know it seems so impossible. It seems almost beyond any hope. The Lord grant you that faith to hope against hope. For the word of God is not bound. And oh, the power of the word of God. Look at it in the life for the conversion, called by grace of the apostle himself. Oh, there he was on that road to Damascus when that light shone down from heaven, when he heard the word of Jesus and he fell under. Oh, he was truly humbled and stripped in a moment. You see how the Lord dealt with him. In a moment brought to pray, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. But the word of God is not bound. We perhaps can understand a little of that godly man Ananias, whom the Lord would have go to Saul of Tarsus. We can understand his fears, but I have heard of this man and what havoc he is doing in the churches, hailing the disciples into prisons and so on. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. You see, there's that who can tell. The word of God is not bound. I will work, and who shall let it? I will for these things, O house of Israel, be inquired of you to do them unto you. You see, where the Lord saves his people, grants them that hope through grace, that interest in the Saviour's precious blood, I believe there is that burden, that exercise, that others also might be saved. I know we often are accused in our denomination of being not concerned for the souls of others. I trust I beg to differ. Oh, may the Lord grant us that great concern for souls to be saved from a never-ending eternity. I remember some years ago now, a minister from the pulpit praying for the conversion of the Prime Minister of the day, and he said, what a blow that would be for the Satan and the enemies of the truth if one in high office was called by grace. Can it be possible? With God, all things are possible. But the word of God is not bound. Oh, not bound like the children of Israel, who limited the Holy One of Israel. In that sense, they sought to bind the word of God. Or they could not enter in because of their unbelief. When they heard of the sons of Anak and their cities, they did not think that they would ever be able to overcome. But they had the word of God. And dear Caleb and Joshua fully believed that the word of God is not bound, that they would trust in the word of God. And so they entered into the promised land according to the word of God. Oh, the blessed gospel we seek to preach. I'll just end on this point. Again, there was a minister some years ago now, preaching at his own chapel where he was pastor, and he told me he felt, even to this day, it was the worst sermon he had ever preached. Now, we would presume that he felt to be in utter bondage. He struggled through every sentence. Perhaps as he was preaching, he felt to be in utter confusion, hardly knowing how to carry on. Well, at that service, the Lord was at work. You see, the word of God is not bound, although the poor minister may feel to be bound. And at that service, the Lord delivered and brought into gospel liberty one of his dear children, to the utter amazement and humbling of the dear minister. Ah, no flesh should glory in my presence. You see, the Lord will not be bound by man in any way whatsoever. The word of God is not bound. Or as it ever has been, it ever will be. I will work. And who shall let it? May it be our prayer. Let thy work appear. But the word of God is not bound. Amen.
The collection tonight is for the Trinitarian Bible Society, as we have heard. God willing, Mr. Jim Ince will preach next Lord's Day in the evening, and Mr. Gilbert Hyde on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 215. Free grace to every heaven-born soul will be their constant theme. Long as eternal ages roll, they'll still adore the Lamb. Hymn 215.
the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.